Good morning and a very warm welcome to you as we celebrate Good Friday. It is my prayer that you have had a meditative and reflective Holy Week that brings us to this special day in our church calendar, Good Friday. Let's turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the journey of this week. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son upon the cross. Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to die, your willingness to go to Calvary, your willingness to be born in our midst, to be one of us. Lord, in all that you've done for us, today we celebrate your death. It sounds macabre. It sounds strange, but we know, Lord, that in your dying, we receive life. And so we would pray, Lord, that you would speak to us as we share around Scripture, as we reflect on that Scripture. And so we ask, Lord, that your Spirit would touch our hearts and our souls this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we join together as we sing, "There is a green hill far away outside a city wall."
There is a green hill far away outside a city wall, where the
regularly through Jesus' ministry, he chose solitude and silence. With his disciples, and sometimes alone, he would go off early in the morning to be quiet, to pray, often alone. In Gethsemane, we remember that he chose to be alone, leaving his disciples to keep watch. And we know it was a deep, deep time for him as he prayed, as he sweated blood, and his disciples fell asleep. But even on the cross, we see that silence and solitude is thrust upon him. People often say that on Good Friday, God was silent. Well, he was in many ways, but he was also so loud. There was no need for words. The visuals of the day, the experience of the people, the actions of people, the actions of Christ were all that were needed. Yet Jesus does suffer in solitude as he hangs alone on the cross, suffering for each and every one of us. And he needed to suffer in silence, so that we all would hear. And so I invite you, as we share in two reflections, two meditations, if you like, and so I invite you to hear these words and allow them to touch your heart. Our first meditation was written by Tom Shepherd, based on John chapter 12, verse 27. And so I'll read the passage and then we'll go into the meditation. It is entitled, The Precious Drops. So hear these words from Scripture. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I say, Father, do not let this hour come upon me? But that is why I came, so that I might go through this hour of suffering. The wounds on his hands bled slowly. Pressure from the weight of his body hanging from the cross held back the flow of blood. If there had been no other sounds that afternoon, it probably would have sounded like the slow, steady drip of raindrops falling off the eaves of a house on a damp, foggy night. But there were many sounds. There were the taunts of the soldiers, the weeping and wailing of the woman near the feet of Jesus, and even the careless laughter from the children playing, or the crowds in the distance, haphazardly around the perimeter of the cross. Small puddles had formed at the foot of the cross. No, not from raindrops, for it had not rained that day. The puddles were from blood that was dripping down. Drip, drip, drip. The blood came from his hands, flowing down the top beam of the cross, and for a moment it would hang there. But then as more would gather, it would drip, 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 drip. Little droplets, seen but not heard. Mary saw the drops. She stared at the puddle through her bloodshot eyes, eyes that had seen him on the day of his birth, eyes that had looked at him as he grew up, eyes that had seen him become a man, eyes that now looked at him dying. Drip, drip, drip. With every drop, she knew that life was going out of him. She slowly turned her tear-stained eyes up to his face. She found it hard to breathe. He already has his eyes on her. It was the first time he'd looked at her as he hung on the cross. She, standing below him, felt as if she were a bottomless pit. She looked until she could look no more. Once more, her gaze went back to the puddles on the ground. The dripping still continued. Drip, drip, drip. She then heard the words come out of his mouth. Woman, behold your son. Soon after that he yelled, It is finished. Soon after that the ground shook. Soon after that, the dripping stopped. The world seemed to stop its rotation too. Life as Mary knew it had come to an end. How long she stood there, she did not know. It seemed like years. The next thing she remembers is that the guards had come to break the legs of the criminals. But they did not want them, because they did not want them to live into the Sabbath. When the guards came to Jesus, one of them cried out, "No need to break his legs, he's already dead." Another said, "Let's be sure." One of them approached the body of Jesus, and in a flash a spear was plunged into his side. Then it started all over again. The blood mixed with water ran down his side, onto his legs, and eventually reaching his feet. It hung there for a minute, then drip, drip, drip. Precious drops of blood that would set us free forever. We join as we sing together, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died." Our second meditation, also written by Tom Shepherd, is based on the reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 47. And this is entitled, "The Death of the Light." Let's read that passage of scripture together. Luke chapter 23, 44 to 47. "It was about 12 o'clock when the sun stopped shining, and darkness covered the whole country until 3 o'clock. And the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I place my spirit.' He said this and died. The army officer saw what had happened, and he praised God, saying, 'Certainly, he was a good man.' We watched in darkness. It was strange enough to have darkness at noon, But when you're intently trying to see what is going on, it becomes even more noticeable. Darkness at noon could be explained by a full eclipse of the sun. But then it lasted for 3 hours. That's a little harder to explain away. Then came the shout. Out of the darkness came that familiar voice that we had heard so often, and he cried, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Then silence, darkness, and silence. The crowd began to go, mumbling, praying, wondering. Finally, another voice is heard. A Roman soldier spoke. Certainly this man was innocent. The soldier would have trouble sleeping that night. We were standing watching at a safe distance. Those who had been closest to him, those who had called his friends. We watched while a secret admirer came and removed the body from the cross. We watched while the body was wrapped and laid in a tomb. We watched while the stone was placed at the entrance. We watched in the darkness, but now the darkness was inside us. Yet we kept watching. What did we see? What were we watching? Most of us had no idea. Some watched a man die, who seemed to be a threat to the authorities. Some watched a criminal, accused of some hideous crime. I watched a dear and trusted friend die at the hands of sinners. Wasn't he the one who had talked so much about light? And now it was so dark that we couldn't even see him die. We had no idea what we were watching. All we knew was that it was the end. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The day is over. It is the end. Darkness. We had no idea, for it truly was the end. It was the end of life as we knew it. It was the beginning of a brand new day, yet we did not know it. It was the beginning of God's kingdom here on earth, the death of an innocent man, the death of a friend. Certainly this was not God's plan, or was it? Darkness for 3 hours in the middle of the day. How strange. How unusual. We had no idea. We didn't have a clue. Let us pray. Lord, we know now what Good Friday means. We know now what death in the darkness of that day means for us. Today, Lord, may we again be reminded that you died for us, that you were alone on the cross, that there was silence. And Lord, as you ascended Calvary, as you were nailed to the cross, as you bled and died, so Lord, we now know we receive life, life eternal. But we need to go through Friday in its solitude and in its silence. And so we pray, Lord, that in this moment we would treasure your cross. We would take your cross to heart, that we would cling to your cross, because it is in your cross that we receive life. Amen. And so I invite you to sing. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and we will cling to the old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. My home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
Thank you so much for sharing with us on this Good Friday. It was a different kind of service. I pray it was meaningful. And we do look forward to Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord who we have seen die. May God bless you. May He be with you. May God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.